Missouri and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. In Florida, the surf in Cedar Key north of Tampa is calm, but by tomorrow morning, Florida's west coast could see up to 16 feet of storm surge when Hurricane Idalia makes landfall. The National Hurricane Center expects Idalia to hit as a Category 3. At a White House briefing, FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell says Florida residents need to be ready.
I know that the people of Florida are no stranger to storms, and I encourage all Floridians to take this storm seriously.
President Biden has mobilized FEMA resources and signed an emergency declaration for the state. This hour, President Biden at the White House delivering remarks on the first ever negotiations to lower drug prices under Medicare. It's part of the Inflation Reduction Act, but could face legal hurdles. Last week's home explosion that killed the father of NFL star Caleb Farley was caused by a natural gas leak and blast. North Carolina officials say the origin of the leak is still unknown. This is ABC News. The number two Republican in the House, Representative Steve Scalise, revealed today he has been diagnosed with cancer.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has been diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a blood cancer. In a statement today, Scalise said the cancer is very treatable. That treatment, he says, has already begun and will continue for the next several months. The number two Republican in the House, Scalise will continue to work and intends to return to Washington after Capitol Hill's summer recess. Brittany Shepard, ABC News, Washington.
Miami Mayor Francis Suarez announcing he's suspending his bid for the presidency. Suarez becomes the first candidate to drop out of 2024's crowded Republican field. Suarez failed to meet poll and donation requirements to qualify for last week's Republican debate. In a statement, Suarez said he looks forward to helping the party put forward a strong nominee. Police in Nigeria today said they detained at least 67 people for celebrating a same-sex wedding. Under Nigeria's anti-homosexuality laws, gay people can face up to 14 years in prison. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, a boater was found dead near Cedar Swamp Island on the Chippewa Flowage in the town of Hunter on Friday. Authorities say they received a call about an abandoned boat floating near Cedar Swamp Island, but found the boat unoccupied with only fishing gear in it. Their investigation found 74-year-old Lowell Teske of Winter, Wisconsin, had gone fishing that morning, but was found dead in the water on Monday. According to an Axios report, Wisconsin has the highest rate of vaccine exemptions for kindergartners in the Midwest. The rate of kindergarten students with vaccine exemptions reportedly doubled between 2012 and 2022 to 6.7%. The report comes as Wisconsin health officials are encouraging parents to have their children vaccinated ahead of the school year. The report also cited concerns over the COVID-19 vaccine as contributing to the increase in vaccine exemptions, even though a COVID-19 vaccine isn't required. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest? With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
That Warner Stellion.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, coming in for you on your Tuesday. Matt and Patrick here. Brett will stop by in a little bit. Walker Orenstein joining us from MinPost today. We'll chat with him coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. So, Patrick, I know you like sports. Do you like any of the superhero genre films? Any of the... Did you ever grow up on the comic books?
I was a DC guy. Okay. I liked the Batman films and Batman cartoons a lot when I was growing up.
Well, and I think that there have been some exceptional storylines. Was it the Long Halloween? I read that. It's like, wow, that was amazing. I mean, they do some very good work on the DC side, especially with the Batman series. Did you watch any of the DC movies?
I did. I guess I'm not quite sure what era.
Well, the current one they're in, you know, just the ones they've been doing with the Henry Cavill as Superman and Ben Affleck Ben Affleck's Batman, but now we got Robert Pattinson's Batman now. But you know that Gal Gadot Wonder Woman, that genre. Have you caught any of those?
I did see the first one of Man of Steel, with Henry Cavill. That was the only one of those that I've seen.
You know, I watched The Flash, that's based off the Flashpoint comic book. And did you ever read that one? Did you ever read any of the Flashpoints?
I did not know.
It's actually a really good story. And you know, just for your knowledge there, I'm about to geek out. Sorry, it's what I do. And by the way, just for the record, I'm actually a Marvel guy. I grew up with Captain America, Thor, the Avengers, Spider-Man, the X-Men. I'm much more in the Marvel camp. And so, I mean, I've not really been one of those people who I've got to go see the next DC movie. I mean, I generally catch them on streaming services. Flashpoint was a really good comic book, and what it had to deal with is the Flash, who's the speedster, the guy that can run really fast, apparently can run so fast he actually can run backwards in time, and comes up with this idea of going back and saving his mother, which was a key event in his life. And he does so and ends up creating absolute chaos in the future just by simply doing that. And it is an excellent comic book, and they tried to adapt it for The Flash. Now, the guy who plays Flash, do you know his name off the top of your head?
Is this Ezra Miller?
Ezra Miller, thank you. He is a bag of cats, man. That guy has got some issues. But I think he played the Flash somewhat well. I think I watched the film, and once again, if you know anything about these films, there is this entire culture now with the superhero genre film that comes on out, and before the movie's even out, oh, it's the worst movie ever made. Oh my God, I can't believe they didn't cast this person. That person could be my girlfriend. Oh my gosh, I'm so hot. But they didn't do it, so the movie's the worst. That sort of thing. And by the way, that's not too far off base. A lot of these people are like, wow. And you know, you didn't do it exactly the way I wanted you to do it, and henceforth you're horrible. And I said this about last year, Thor, Love, and Thunder. It got kind of goofy at times, but, you know, there were just some people that would just, I can't believe you did this. Oh, my gosh. And, frankly, these are people who are writing their reviews of the movie before the movie has even come on out. So I was stunned, I say, when I turned on Max, and I caught Flash was on. And I was like, okay, I'll watch a relatively first-run movie. This was just out this summer. I do like that. I have to admit, movies that are on streaming services 2 months after they've been released, okie dokie. Okay, it's not great. It's not great, but it's not bad. And I think Ezra Miller does actually a pretty good job. Michael Keaton comes back as the Batman, of course, the Batman movies from the 90s, early 90s. And I thought he did a pretty good job. I mean, he mailed it in on one or two of the lines for sure. But I thought whoever did this really actually did some good things. And I will say this. It's not as bad as the CGI and Quantumania. I mean, that was a little bit disturbing. But it wasn't good CGI. But overall, the story was pretty good, and I liked it. And it's a shame because I think that so many people, this is the mob mentality towards some of this stuff, and it's this version of reviewing, which it's loved it, hated it, loved it, hated it, loved it, hated it, and there's no nuance to anything. It's the greatest thing that ever lived to it's the worst thing ever made. There's no middle ground at all. The movie actually was somewhat entertaining, and as a summer film, I kind of regret not seeing it in movies. I will say there's a moment in the film where they do a bunch of cameos from past versions of the DC stuff. That was kind of a reach. It was kind of a reach. And frankly, you left a lot of people out. I'm just going to say it. And you probably should have not. I mean, you're going to do this, you know, go for the gusto. If you learn anything from the Spider-Man movies, it's, you know, don't do it halfway. Do it the whole way and off you go. Bon appetit. But it wasn't bad. And I think it's unfortunate because there just is this culture in Hollywood right now and reviewing. And, you know, I think the art of reviewing movies, the art of reviewing albums, the art of reviewing television is dead. And I really think that. I think that there is almost no nuance to it, that there is just such opinion. I mean, and I think part of the problem is that this stuff, especially in the movie genre, we know a lot about these movies before the movies come on out. I've told people, I said, I remember when I was a kid in the summer, and my friend said, let's go see a movie. I said, which one do you want to go see? And he said, Ghostbusters. I said, I don't want to go see a horror film. He said, have you heard anything about it? It's supposed to be a comedy. And we all were like, okay, we've seen some trailers, but that was it. I think that was the last movie I went to. I had no idea what was it. And then, by the way, a good movie to walk into that you had no clue what it was. I remember and I've talked about this before. I remember the line is like, no human being would stack books like this. I realized, okay, this is going to be good. But yeah, I just think that the art of reviewing this stuff is just so lost on the people that review it today, because it's not about what they think about the movies. It's what I wish they would have done. They didn't do it exactly as I said, and I had it. Or they cast someone I love, so I love it. And it just is like, okay, stop. Because the movie's not bad. Is it the best movie? No, it's not. It's not the best movie. But it's not the worst movie. So, you know, take it in conjunction. Is it worth watching? I'd say so. But, you know, that's, you know. And once again, I'm saying this as a guy that's not a DC guy. You know, you put a Thor movie out there, I don't care if it's, I mean, it can be The Dark World, I'll watch it. I mean, I know. I mean, that one's a hard one to take down. But, you know, it's not bad. And to a point, I think the Ezra Miller stuff didn't help, which is also interesting because they've got this problem with on the Marvel side with the guy that plays Kang the Conqueror, who's got a lot of issues apparently, was the bad guy in the last Creed movie. I can't remember what his name is. Anyway, but needless to say, he's got some issues, and it's going to be interesting to see how Marvel, who's so far been pretty good, even through the pandemic, is going to be able to navigate that. So 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So I want to start off, as a main topics go, with Joe the Plumber. Now, I'm going to read to you, okay, well, let me explain something. Yesterday, I talked about Joe the Plumber, who died. Sam Joseph Wurzelbacher died. He died of pancreatic cancer. It's a horrible way to go. I do not relish in his death. I do not take any joy in his death. I feel sorry for his family because they have lost a loved one. Now, That being said, I have taken a lot of grief because I factually recalled why we know Joe the Plumber. I'm going to read once again from yesterday. I read a little bit of the New York Times obituary. Here it is, once bits of it again. Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher, who briefly became Joe the Plumber, a metaphorical American middle-class everyman by injecting himself into the 2008 presidential campaign in an impromptu nationally televised face-off with Barack Obama over taxing small businesses, died on Sunday in his home in Campbellsport, Wisconsin, about 60 miles north of Milwaukee. He was 49 years old. Mr. Obama, then a United States senator from Illinois, was campaigning on Shrewsbury Street in a working-class neighborhood of Toledo, Ohio, on Sunday, October 12, 2008, when, and once again, this was in Ohio, not Wisconsin, where he passed away, when Mr. Wurzelbacher interrupted a football catch with his son in front of the yard to mosey over and ask the Democratic nominee about his proposed tax increases for some small businesses. During the cordial but largely inconclusive five-minute colloquy in front of the news cameras, Mr. Wurzelbacher said he was concerned about being subject to a bigger tax bite just as he was approaching the point where he could finally afford to buy a plumbing business, which he said would generate an income of $250,000 a year. And he made the implication is that I'm going to make all this money, but it's going to all get taxed. He's apparently thought he was going to be in a 100% tax bracket income, which, you know, well, I mean, I'm exaggerating. He was saying the vast majority of it was going to be taxed. So 3 days later, Joe the Plumber, as he was popularized by Mr. Obama's Republican rival at that point, Senator John McCain, was invoked some two dozen times during a final debate on the presidential campaign. But by Election Day, now, this is just the truth. By Election Day, we discovered the image in the spotlight of a burly, bald, iron-jawed John Doe eroded as the public learned that he was not a licensed plumber. He could not work in Toledo only for someone with a master's license or in an outlying area, so he wasn't really even a plumber. He wasn't about to buy a $250,000 a year business, and he owed $1,200 in back taxes. So once again, Joe the Plumber was a fraud. He was, and as someone pointed out, it's like his name wasn't even Joe, it was Samuel. He just kind of tried to portray himself as this everyday kind of, person. But the reality was his entire story, the only reason we know of Joe the Plumber was a lie. And that's not a debatable fact. He lied about who he was and what he was trying to do just to try to make Barack Obama look bad. Because there's no other reason for him to do that unless he was trying to make him look bad. He tried afterwards, I was just putting out hypotheticals. No, you didn't put out a hypothetical. You portrayed yourself as someone legitimate. And you weren't. He was a liar. And that's the main reason we know him. But as well, he also was an absolute, he did something so horrible, you cannot just sweep it under the rug. In 2012, Mr. Wurzelbacher won the Republican nomination to challenge Representative Marcy Kaptur, the Democratic incumbent in Ohio's 9th congressional district, but was crushed in the general election. I talked about that yesterday. During that campaign, he released a video defending the Second Amendment and blaming gun control as having helped enable the Ottoman Empire to commit genocide against Armenians in the early 20th century and the Nazi Germany to carry out the Holocaust, saying guns laws had stripped the victims of both cases the ability to defend themselves. Once again, horribly wrong. Now, that all being said, again defending the right to bear arms, he wrote to the parents of the victims of a mass shooting in 2014 in Isla Vista, California, near the campus of University of California, Santa Barbara, saying, as harsh, this is a direct quote, as harsh as this sounds, your dead kids don't trump my constitutional rights. End quote. Now, I'm going to actually give a lot of conservatives out there an out. My guess is you never heard that Joe the Plumber had been lying. You probably never heard your dead kids don't trump my constitutional rights. A human being telling parents, grieving parents who had lost their children to a psychopath, that their kids' lives were less than the gun that was used to kill them. You probably didn't hear any of that because Republican media doesn't cover this stuff. It's not only do they overemphasize any crisis with a Democrat, but they downplay any bad news for the Republicans. And I have zero doubt that some of the people, why are you talking about this? This isn't true. Yes, it is. It's exactly true. The only reason you know about Joe the Plumber is because he lied. That is his cause de celeb. That's why he's a celebrity. That's why he was on the stage. A lie. So, you know, Bill Buckner, you know, bring in a baseball term. Correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick. Bill Buckner was the guy for the Boston Red Sox that the ball went between his legs, right?
Yep, that's right.
Is there any chance on the planet in the history when he does pass away? Because I don't think has he passed away? I don't think Buckner has.
I thought Bill Buckner may have died.
He might have died. That's right. And when he did, what was the first thing that he mentioned about him?
That the ball went through his legs.
That's why he's known. Doesn't mean he wasn't a good baseball player. He was actually a pretty decent baseball player. Doesn't mean he didn't grow the best roses. I don't know what Bill Buckner did. He could have. But you generally, when someone passes away, you created the celebrity for yourself, and then you basically get upset when people quote the celebrity that they indeed themselves created at the obituary of the individual. That's, you know, you don't go to, I guess, I don't know, how did the Republicans, you know, cover Jeffrey Epstein? Close buddy of Donald Trump dies? I mean, it's how did you cover that? The monster is dead. Or was killed. You mean, depending on how you want to look at it. I've got questions, frankly. But you don't just negate, he's got wife and kids, Matt. He died of pancreatic cancer. Do you know how stressful that is? His wife and kids are grieving. And all you're doing is dancing on his grave. No, I'm not dancing on his grave. But since you brought it up, since you guys brought up what a horrible way it is, and pancreatic cancer isn't indeed a horrible way to go. And the fact that the think of the family members. Let me think about this for a second. You know where I'm going. Let me stroke the old chin here. Did any single one of you ever condemn Joe the Plumber when he went out there and after the children near the University of California, Santa Barbara, were gunned down in an incredibly horrible way to die, a violent, horrific way to die, when their families were grieving and feeling sad at that point? Did you ever once go over to Joe the Plumber and say, dude, hey, I'm with you, but what are you doing? No, of course you didn't. You went out there and said, he's just telling the truth, man. He's just telling the truth. Because you're all massive freaking hypocrites. And that's all you are. You're giddy at the idea. Oh, my God. I had one person say, we're going to dance in your grave. I said, man, dude, I already know. The Republican Party, the Christian right, is already gleefully waiting for my obituary so they can dance and dance and dance. And as a matter of fact, there it is, the ultimate proof of their hypocrisy is there. You can't, no, not the families, man, a horrible way to go. Hopefully this is a long time down the road, but the reality is that's who these people are. Can't wait for the tolerant right, the Christian right, when Jimmy Carter passes away. You know that they've been drafting social media posts for the last 2 years on that one. No, you are, first of all, I'll give you the out. I bet you most of you had no idea he was lying his butt off when he confronted Barack Obama, that it was a setup. I also will buy it, maybe you're not from Ohio or you don't pay much attention to politics, that you didn't realize the horrible thing he said to the parents of the victims of a gun massacre. But the reality is at no point do you guys ever show the same level of decency that you respect. I do. I feel sorry for the family. I don't think pancreatic cancer is a good way to go. I do feel sad. But this is what the guy did. This is what his legacy is. This is why we know him. He lied about being Joe the Plumber just so he could confront Barack Obama. And then he said this horrible thing when he ran for office. Bill Buckner had let the baseball go between his legs. That's what you get known for. That's what you get known for. And he encouraged us to know about him this way. So don't come back to me. Don't you dare come back to me and act as if, how dare you? No, you guys, you're the ones who giggle and chortle anytime a Democrat dies. And for the most part, to be fair, there are Democrats out there who are out there gleefully excited when a Republican dies. And don't do that. Don't be like that. But I'm being consistent. Not what Republicans are. Consistent. No, I have to put Joe the Plumber up on Rushmore. I've got to call the Vatican and get him, you know, green lit for sainthood. No, the dude lied about who he was. And then he said that horrible thing about the victims of a gun massacre. Feel sorry for him. Feel sorry for his family. I don't relish anyone's death, but I'm sure not going to basically omit what the guy is known for just because, you know, the Republicans don't want you ruining their ideology on the guy, their mythology about him. Well, that's because you guys only watch far-right news and you don't get the truth. That's not on me. That's on you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Come on back. I got another interesting thing that happened today, and I want to tie this into some great articles that Blue Stem Prairie has been doing. I'll talk about that when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hot from 30 Bales on Main Street in Hopkins, my co-founder Tom and I developed our restaurant to celebrate everything Midwestern cuisine has to offer. Our upbeat neighborhood gathering place brings together bright personalities, bold recipes, clean ingredients, and craft spirits that play with unique flavors of the Midwest. The menu at 30 Bales is inspired by seasonal ingredients grown close to home. Some favorites include our devilish eggs, beet salad, short rib pot pie, and our decadent burgers. Join us for lunch, dinner, and weekend brunch. Go to 30bales.com to learn more.
Outfront Minnesota is a driving force behind LGBTQ plus advocacy in our state, and they're gearing up to honor our state's monumental achievements in protecting our LGBTQ plus neighbors. While other states took steps backwards, Minnesota had the greatest advance in LGBTQ plus rights in 10 years. We showed that Minnesota is committed to affirming our values as a state that trusts individuals to make informed decisions about their bodies and lives, while also taking pride in delivering exceptional health care and supporting communities in need. We passed a conversion therapy ban and a trans refuge bill. And now Outfront Minnesota is ready to lead Minnesota towards even a brighter future. To celebrate, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBTQ plus rights and order your tickets at outfront.org.
How does this sound? Doesn't this sound better? If you've decided to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota instead to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved when someone repurposes your old cabinets, fixtures, and lumber. Think of all the resources saved by diverting those building materials from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota makes it happen for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, funds are available to make the environmentally responsible alternative comparable to a typical demolition. For more information, check out betterfuturesminnesota.com. That's betterfuturesminnesota.com. Or call 612-351-8650. And don't forget to shop the Reuse Warehouse in Minneapolis.
To the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, it's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, pulling up Bill Buckner's, he did indeed pass away in 2019. Bill Buckner, forever known in the 1986 World Series era. That's literally his obituary. It's a feel sorry for the guy to a point, but that's what he's known for. Why aren't you talking about Joe the Plumber's ability to do macrame? Because he wasn't known for that. And like I said, I think the large part of the problem is you guys don't ever watch anything. And I looked at the Fox News obituary on Joe the Plumber. No mention of the fact that he lied about his background. No mention of it. They mentioned his campaign, but they didn't mention his comment about how, you know, the dead kids were less important than the gun that killed them, basically. So, yeah. 952-946-6205. It's interesting that I've been dealing with this today because I had something else that happened today. I was at the Y and I'm working out. And I'm talking to a friend of mine. I'm talking about the Twins game yesterday. And just out of the blue, the guy just starts talking to me. And clearly wanted to have a conversation about something. I don't know if he was lonely. I don't know what it was up. I've never met this guy before. What I can describe him as a little bit. He's 70 years old, white male, seemed to have come from a professional background, at least, you know, claims to know a lot of CEOs, claims to know a lot of police departments and stuff like this. And he started coming at me in a bit of a confrontational, not a really aggressive confrontational, but definitely wanting to have a bit of an argument. He wanted to have a bit of a discussion. I haven't done this. And by the way, this is the reason why I don't do this online. You know, you come to my page and you lob an insult at one of my social media pages. I'm blocking you. I didn't come to you. You came to me. You want my attention. You're not worth it. And that's just that. So, and I don't have the time. I don't have the time to deal with all you clowns on the far right. I just don't. You're just kind of pathetic. Anyway, this guy comes in, he starts in, and he's talking. For some reason, we get into crime and how crime is so bad. Man, bless it. It's all important in here. And I just start knocking down his points. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. I do this for a living, okay? I am a 32-year radio broadcaster. I've been doing talk radio since 1997. Trust me, politicians are some of the hardest people to get straight answers out of. I talk with them all the time. I know how to cut through these things. You know, it's something I do with regularity. I'm a professional interviewer, basically, professional radio host. I make arguments. I make cases. That's what I do. I have to know my facts because trust me when I say this, if I screw up and I say something that's wrong, oh, I'll hear about it and I'll hear about it even more from the left than I will the right. So I've got to be pretty damn good at this business just to do this business. There sometimes are guys that will walk into a bar and they'll say, "You used to play Major League Baseball. I bet I could hit you." The guy will go, "Oh, really?" And that was a case. There was a Major League Baseball player that basically, I'm getting a lot of baseball references in today. It basically was in a bar and some guy said, "Well, I hit 520 in my beer league softball league. I can hit you." The guy looked at him and says, "I'll throw you 3 pitches if you even touch it. If you even foul one of them off, I'll give you $1,000. And it was, the way it was described in the article was, I remember the guy got the 2 strikes on him. The guy was nowhere near the ball, just, you know, swinging at flies. And after the second strike and he realized he was about to get on, and all of a sudden it's like, "You know, I had a beer earlier and this is not my regular bat and, you know, I shouldn't be wearing this shirt." And all of a sudden the excuses came on out and they started jumping all over. He started trying to jump all over the place. Of course, he, you know, missed wildly a third strike and that was the end of that. Because this guy was dumb enough to say to himself, "I'm going to go up against a professional Major League Baseball pitcher. If you throw a fastball for 32 years, I guarantee you, you're going to have a pretty good fastball." And this guy had no chance. Now, that being said, I don't necessarily compare myself to a Major League Baseball player, but I have done this for a while. If you're not used to basically, if you're just used to talking to people who echo your own talking points, a lot of time when someone actually confronts you with the truth, it's a very difficult sandwich to swallow. And that's exactly what started happening, where he sort of said, it's like, "Well, Minneapolis is exporting all of its crime to Minnetonka." I said, is the crime happening in Minnetonka? Because if it's happening in Minnetonka, it's Minnetonka crime. And you blaming Minneapolis is basically, you know, not solving the problem. You know, what do you want to do? You want to put a gate around Minneapolis? People have to have a collar on before they go anywhere? We have to have GPS tracking of all Minneapolis people? Is that what you're saying? Well, no, I'm not saying that. And I said, I can go with the screw. There was just a guy shot his wife up in Roseau County. You know, that's rural. That seems pretty dangerous to me, let alone how the other cases, I mean, the three police officers that were shot in the one raid on the guy's house. There's danger everywhere. He then came on out and tried to argue that, and by the way, Target Corporation, by the way, I don't think this guy was, you know, I'll just go to say this, but Target Corporation, I want to let you know what he said. One of your executives told him that you're not going downtown because you're trying to save money on retail space, nor are you not going back town because you're trying to stay competitive in this modern day work environment where you need to offer remote work for people. No, you're not going down. All the Target executives have told, or the Target executive told him that the reason why that you're not going to Target, you're going downtown again is because the crime is so horrible. It's the worst. It's the worst crime ever. It's horrible. There's stabbings outside the building every day. That sort of thing. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit from what he said, but that's what he was saying. So, Target, you need to actually explain to us, are you not going downtown because crime, which is down dramatically in the city of Minneapolis, is somehow out of control? Because that's what he says. Because he's living in a narrative that basically that everything bad is black people, Minneapolis crime. And that's kind of that bubble that they live in. And it got comical. It got comical when he says to me, well, in the 1950s, we were so much more unified, of course. And what? And I said, he's like, we were so much more unified together. It's like, well, unless you were black. And he got livid with me. But it's the truth. You know, it's like, well, unless you are a minority or a gay or women, let's be honest. But, you know, white guys, yeah, sure, go team, go. You know, no, the 50s were not this unified moment. Well, and then he says, but I've got a black friend. And I'm like, okay, this is not about whether or not you have a black friend. It's the fact that you said in the 1950s we were all unified. And I very quickly pointed out, no, we weren't. We weren't even close because we never really are unified. This whole trope of things were so much better back when is just a made up imaginary thing to try to convince your people that things are bad now. And we can go through any time in history and find really bad conditions for people, including today. So I basically did this, and okay, so I clearly had two strikes across the plate, because that's when he did what every conservative who starts getting their ass handed to him by myself does, and that is, well, you know, crime rate and you know, carjackings and you know taxing the wealthy and all these things. He was jumping around to topic because he kept trying to throw something out there. I would immediately smack him back. He would then have to jump to another topic just because he had to get away from that one because, God forbid, he actually had to admit he was wrong about something and go to another thing. That's the strike three. And that's when I said to him, I was like, I got to go. I got other things to do. I don't have time to deal with you just trying to find some way, somehow, that you can basically beat me in an argument because you've already lost. You've swung a 50 times and you're not going to hit a damn thing. But the main thing, the reason I brought this up is because this was not rural Minnesota. This was not, you know, outstate. This is Minnetonka. This was out in Minnetonka, where supposedly we're not having people who are so blinded by reality that they make up their own version of it to make the narrative they want to be true. And yet that's where we are. And you say to yourself, well, if that's what's going on in Minnetonka, what's going on in outstate Minnesota? And you're not going to believe it, but outstate Minnesota's gone to Crazyville. I'm going to talk about that because Bluestem Prairie has some very good stories on that. We'll take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolet Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been going to Chambaud Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at chamblotfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res, my cleaning heroes. Did you know as many as 1 in 5 Americans suffer from allergies caused by particles found in the air in your home? If you or anyone in your family suffers from allergies or asthma, or you just want cleaner, healthier air, Zero Res can help with their air duct and dryer vent cleaning service. The Zero Res 12-step professional source removal process guarantees your home will be clean to the highest standards. Not only will an air duct cleaning help this allergy season, but you will enjoy less dust, lower energy bills, and your home will stay cleaner longer. It's back to school time, so there's no better time for a fresh start than right now. And that's why Zero Res is taking $100 off air duct cleaning services through the rest of August. Call 952-ZERO-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com right now and ask for the AM 950 special. Spell it backward or forwards, it's the same. Zero Res.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 81. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 60. And Wednesday, sunny with a high around 78. At Crooner's Supper Club, the entertainment doesn't stop when the show ends. Head over to Maggie's Lounge for some post-show drinks and great conversation. You'll love the relaxed and friendly atmosphere. That's Maggie's Lounge at Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65. More at croonersloungemn.com.
Progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It is really remarkable. I mean, this is kind of, it's from that same vein of the people that whenever Minneapolis is ranked number one, no, it's not. Unless it's a bad category, it's the worst place ever to live. That's kind of that same vein. And it really is remarkable because they don't even listen to their arguments. And once again, this is not some guy on a compound out in the reddest part of the freaking state. This is a guy at the Y in Minnetonka, for God's sakes. This is just some guy who basically is, you know, supposedly living in a little bit more of an enlightened society and yet still thriving on arguments which, frankly, my daughters could punch a hole into with a semi. Crime is horrible. You got to do all these horrible things. They're horrible people. You got to hold them accountable. And I'm like, I said, no. And the thing which was funny is no, of course you have to hold people accountable. But you're not holding them accountable enough. Like what? You want a public execution? You know, if that's the sort of, is that what we're at? Because I can tell you right now, it's not going to work. And like he said, he was like, well, there are people now running around the streets of Los Angeles just violently attacking people. Are you mean when they like hit a store and they take all the stuff? No, they violently go out and beat people in the street. It's like, dude, you need to stop watching the freaking OAN, Newsmax, Fox News trifecta, okay? You need to, because that's all they're doing. You're not watching real news. You're watching basically parroted news. That's all you're doing. But this was, once again, this is Minnetonka. So, Bluestem Prairie, which, by the way, if you're not following, fantastic, Sally Jo Sorensen, excellent journalist. She is covering a lot of news out in the outstate part of the state. And a few weeks ago, last week actually, Bluestem Prairie posted about a public event sponsored by the local Minnesota Republican Party units featuring extremist and conspiracy theorists. There was West Central Minnesota Republican Senate District BPOU's sponsored Sheriff Richard Mack. That was the same day as Associated Press published a right-wing sheriff's group that challenges federal law is gaining acceptance in the country. That's the Constitutional Sheriff's Peace Officer Association. I talked about that a little bit. These are the guys that say, the founding fathers wanted the sheriffs to be able to shoot the president in the head. Okay, I'm exaggerating it, but not by much. Their argument is the highest authority in the land is the Fillmore County Sheriff, you know, that kind of thing. And it's stupid. No, it's like really stupid. It's actually legally been challenged and it's failed miserably against it because no, that's not the case. But because people out there have been told, they are turning to these outrage. And that's part of the reason. You basically tell these people in outstate Minnesota, all the time. Then they start saying, well, maybe we should allow the sheriff to just start gunning down all the Democrats in the state. You know, that sort of argument. That's kind of where they're going with it. Anyway, now, and once again, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not by much. That's kind of the way they feel. I don't think I have to follow the laws of the state of the job that I ran for office to obey the laws of the state. Never mind. Anyway, that group welcomed in a loon ball there. They're not sure why the Republican Party units, the Senate District 12, Senate District 13, and Senate District 14 think this would build the party brand in the area of that trifecta, but that's kind of what they thought that was a good idea. Then there was part two of her stories out there. Minnesota Republicans, BPOU party units, normalizing extremist conspiracy theories. They explored Republican Senate districts 13 and 14, presenting anti-agenda 12 Bircher conspiracy theorist Tom DeWeese. Okay. But as the Fillmore and Goodhue County Republicans flyer for the special event posted above demonstrates, their peers elsewhere in greater Minnesota may have been left in the dust in the general wackadoolism in Mabel on Monday. Now, Bluestem Prairie puts out this little thing. They believe that trafficking, human trafficking, including sex trafficking, is a problem indeed. Many of our neighbors have here on the Lake Traverse Reservation still mourn family members lost and have been active in the missing and murdered indigenous relatives group. But Speaker Kathy O'Brien's story is another matter. This is the third one. This is Kathy O'Brien's coming to Mabel, Minnesota, the Mabel Community Center on this Monday here. She had this past Monday. She was there. I'm just going to read this because even Wikipedia put something in here to make the argument that this doesn't make any sense. Kathy O'Brien is an American conspiracy theorist and author who claims to have been a victim of a government mind control program called Project Monarch, which she alleges was part of the CIA's Project MK Ultra. O'Brien made these assertions in Transformation of America in 1995 and Axis Denied, the Reasons for National Security 2004, both of which she co-authored and self-published with her husband, Mark Phillips, according to the scholars. By the way, there is no credible evidence for O'Brien's claims, and there are numerous inconsistencies with her story. O'Brien claims that as a child, she was sexually abused by her father, as well as a network of child pornographers. Supposedly, she was then forced into the CIA by the CIA to participate in Project Monarch, which she claims is a subsection of Project MK Ultra and Project Artichoke. According to O'Brien, under hypnosis, she was able to recall memories of sexual abuse of both herself and her daughter by international pedophile rings, drug barons, and Satanists who allegedly used a form of trauma-based mind control programming to make her a sex slave. Okay. Brian accuses a wide range of prominent individuals, from American, Canadian, Mexican, and Saudi government officials to stars of the country music scene, of being part of Product Monarch's community. Because, I mean, I'll tell you what, when I think of two groups of people that get together, Saudi government officials and the country music stars, I mean, those two are hand in hand. As part of the Product Monarch conspiracy to operate sex slave rings and commit child sex abuse. For example, O'Brien claims that George H.W. Bush and Miguel de la Madrid used holograms to appear to her in altered forms. Yes, holograms. Saying that Bush apparently activated a hologram of the lizard-like alien, which provided the illusion of Bush transforming like a chameleon before my eyes. In retrospect, I understand that Bush had been painstakingly careful in positioning our seats in order that the hologram effectiveness to be maximized. Okay. O'Brien claims Project Monarch caused her to develop multiple personality disorder, but during alternate personality episodes, she has photographic recall. Okay. Religious and political scholars have criticized O'Brien claims for their lack of any supporting evidence. David G. Robertson characterized them as symptomatic of baseless moral panic and noted that no one has ever been prosecuted for such crimes, nor has ever any corroborating material evidence ever been produced. According to the scholar Michael Barkin, scholarly and journalistic treatments of MK Ultra make no mention of a Project Monarch. Barkin describes O'Brien's account as sensational even by the standard of conspiracy literature, and notes that even Black Helicopter Conspiracy Theory, Jim Keith considered it fraudulent and delusional. Jody Dean cited O'Brien's claims as an example of conspiracy theorist tendency to excessively leaps of the imagination, willingness to deviate from common sense. I talked about this with the guy who is in Sound of Freedom, the actor, Henry Cavill. And he talked about how I've seen videos of these kids being tortured, and at the point of their death, they take the endochrome out of them. And you've seen this and you did not call the police? Well, yeah, exactly. Boy, she sounds like fun. And you have to ask the question of the Fillmore and Houston County Republican Party. How in the hell did you bring this person in? But it does bring out a very interesting argument that this is where the Republican Party is going. They don't care about, you know, reading scores and pollutants in the water. They don't care about the price of crops. They don't care about anything. They have made up all of these fantastical things that happen, and that's what they're going off of. And this is kind of when I'm talking to the guy, a retired guy, 70 years old, executive, probably an executive, maybe a business owner in Minnesota, and he's putting forward easily punch through arguments on crime, Black people, Minneapolis. Does it surprise anyone that when you get out to these places where this stuff is unfettered, that they're bringing in anyone? We could probably make up someone who is just a loonball extremist. And I would bet you we could get at least four or five speaking engagements with outstate Republicans. Maybe we should. This is crazy, but this is where we're at, which gets me back to a point I've been making for a few months now. I'm going to come back to it. I'll come back after the break and I'll make this point again. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Upfront Minnesota is the state's largest LGBTQ plus advocacy organization, and they're celebrating our state's accomplishments protecting our LGBTQ plus neighbors. This is especially important as surrounding states are passing legislation targeting our trans community. But here in Minnesota, we made it clear, you belong here. Minnesota's LGBTQ plus rights have taken a significant step forward with the conversion therapy ban and the trans refuge bill, helping reshape the national discourse. The trailblazers who once championed same-sex marriage marriage a decade ago continue propelling Minnesota towards an even brighter future. To celebrate these accomplishments, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBTQ plus rights and order your tickets at outfront.org.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when it's time for me to get my service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyotas inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So, DFL, what are you doing? You've had a sensational year. This clearly far-right extremism is running feral in rural Minnesota. And it's running in, and it's coming into these suburbs. Now, granted, I don't necessarily think 70-year-old retirees are going to necessarily be the influential swing, you know, argument for Generation Z or Generation X or the millennials. But necessarily, you need to start thinking to yourself about selling yourself, because you're doing exactly what I was concerned you were going to do. You sit and pat yourselves on the back and you say, everybody's going to know what we did. Well, it's a few months later, and there's a lot of Republicans who are convinced, Republican voters, especially in outstate Minnesota, who are convinced that anything that's good that's happening in outstate Minnesota is only happening because Republicans somehow Jedi mind trick the Democrats to including it in their bill. And Republicans can go into this area because these people have been so damn brainwashed at this point. And they have. They've been so damn brainwashed that a Republican politician can go into this area and say, I proudly voted against this bill, but I included all the stuff I wanted to get in there before I voted against it. And they'll be like, he's the hero. They don't even hear themselves anymore because they don't care about who's actually getting them, you know, paid sick leave and family leave and protecting their rights and free school lunch. They don't care about that. They don't care about free the legalized marijuana. Not free. Legalized, not free. Legalized. They don't care about that stuff because the rest of the time when they start thinking about maybe this is a good idea, what are these Republicans doing? Well, here's some delusional psychopath to talk to you about how the alien lizard creatures have told them that the sheriff should be able to round up and arrest any Democrat whenever they want to. And they're bringing in this extremism. And part of the reason why they're bringing in this extremism is to make themselves look like they're moderates with their extremism. As I said with this one woman, even one of these like extremist guys, these black helicopter, black ops guys that are out there screaming think that this woman's nuts. So why in the hell would the Fillmore and Houston County Republicans bring them in? Well, because bringing in such psychopaths make them look like moderates. Well, I'm not like crazy Larry over here. So DFL, you need to stop basically patting yourselves on the back. You need to get out there from the suburbs all across the state. You need billboards. You need a campaign. You need to fight. Because I'll tell you what, Republicans are quick to take credit for all you did. Hour two, that's up next.
Hey, it's Tom. Since 2009, All Energy Solar has been providing solar energy solutions to customers. With fully licensed electricians and installers, you can be sure that your solar installation will go smoothly. The team at All Energy Solar understands that every customer is unique. They'll take the time to survey and understand your property to find a solar solution that works for you. One of the biggest advantages of going solar is the opportunity to take advantage of the many solar incentives available. But it can often be confusing to know what you're qualified for. All Energy Solar professionals will help you find out what savings you can apply for and even help with your applications. This is especially important since many rebate programs have limited capacity and are first come, first serve. So it's important to have a professional on your side who will make sure you get every eligible rebate. Get a free no obligation assessment from All Energy Solar's commercial solar specialist.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.